Welcome to the Inside Mac Games Podcast. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller. William Miller, who are you? I forget how we introduce you.
I live on the street. How you doing, Blake Buck?
You live on the street. Okay, we also have Jess Vicarot of Kill Monty fame.
How you doing?
Doing good. And also, returning this week, Tunzer Dennis, the founder of the Inside Mac Games Network.
Hey, hello there.
And this is a special show, guys. This is the last episode of the IMG podcast with Blake Buck, William Miller, and Justin Fick. That's right.
Oh, goodness.
Everybody gasp.
I've got my tissues right next to me just in case.
So we're moving to a new show, but we'll still be on IMG. Maybe we'll maybe Tunzer, you can call us on as a guest every now and then.
Absolutely.
Tunzer doesn't have tissues. Tunzer has champagne over there, and he's waiting to uncork as soon as we end this show.
And this is your Mac Gaming News for, I don't know, sometime in the middle of the week. All right, this week in the news, Apple unveils the Mac Pro desktop. Apple adds ATI X1900XT to the online store. Microsoft announces Age of Empires 3, Spiderweb News GeneForge 4 in beta. IMG reviews Wingnuts 2, Fantasia arcade game released. Are 40% of World of Warcraft players addicted? All this and more on this week's Inside Mac Games Podcast. Did I get everything?
I think you got it.
All right.
So, really exciting week this week. WWDC, Apple announces new MacBook or Mac Pro, an Intel-based desktop Mac that competes with transition that completes the transition to Intel. This thing is hot, guys. Woo. I want one of these for $2,500. You can get two 2.66 gigahertz dual-core Intel Xeon processors, a gig of RAM, a really nice graphics card. These things are monsters. They're
party
really
gifts for the IMG podcast? Huh? Huh? Touch of Dennis?
Yes, Benedict.
So what all do they do?
Well, they got two optical drives, same enclosure as the original, but I think it's completely redesigned on the inside.
Cool.
Four PCI expansion slots, an extra large graphics slot, so you can have those real big cards in there. Actually, it's got three full-length expansion slots, so that's nice. It's like a $3,000 Dell for $2,500, and it's a Mac. Amazing.
What's cool about it is that the all the millions of configurations that Steve was talking about at the keynote, basically you can just add whatever you want, delete whatever you want. So that's pretty cool. And you know, I'm glad that transition is finally done. It's over with, and you know now Apple can just concentrate on the Intel stuff. So
now, what about that thousand or millions of permutations? Wouldn't, if you did the math, wouldn't all the other previous Macs have the same number just about? I mean, what different
don't reveal their secrets
options do you have?
Well, I think maybe they're adding way more options to this, you know, particular Mac Pro, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just the memory; it's all the extra like bays that are in the machine. So now you can have up to four drives in there, and then the extra optical bay, yeah, can be anything. Could be a DVD writer, could be, you know, some other
zip drive,
zip drive, tape backups, whatever, right? So whatever. I mean, it's cool. It's, you know, giving Mac consumers option is, you know, is always a good thing. So I personally would love one of these machines, but I'm so endeared to just having I'm a MacBook Pro guy, so if you guys get one of those, be sure to send in a review of it.
Man, so I'm using my MacBook this morning, right? This is a little off topic. I'm using it, you know, doing some work, and all of a sudden it makes this horrendous screeching noise out of the speaker. It scared me to death.
Hey, you know what?
Has this happened to you?
Yes, it's happened to me too. It's like the loudest, like, brrr!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love the reenactment.
What is that?
No, it's there are a few things with my 17-inch MacBook Pro that are kind of weird. First is that, but also when I put mine to sleep and I move it around just a little bit, it wakes up.
Really?
So it's really bizarre. So at one point I had something. It's not the motion sensor because I even disabled that and it keeps on doing it. So. At one point, I had the MacBook Pro in my backpack, and I went traveling for like 7 hours. And when I opened it up, it was like sizzling hot because it would be turning on and off, on and off, on and off all the time.
Oh, man.
So now, whenever I take it around somewhere, I have to shut it down, or else it just comes on. And this is with the lid closed, you know.
Mine doesn't have that problem. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That noise scared the
light sleeper
heck out of me.
Yeah, it's a light sleeper, exactly.
All right. So what is
all right,
this next
so,
week?
The, also new news in the Apple Store. Following the announcement of the Mac Pro, the ATI X1900 XT has been added to the online store as an upgrade kit. So those of you who don't want the default NVIDIA card can now upgrade to the ATI X1900. Comes with 512 megabytes of dedicated GDDR3 memory. And it's an ideal solution for motion graphics, animation, or 3D design and visualization. Tool dueling DVI ports, and can support two 30-inch Apple Cinema displays for an incredibly large widescreen workspace. Wow. So it retails for $499 and 3 to 5 week wait until it ships. And also, if you are upgrading when building your Mac, it only costs $350 as opposed to the $499 for the upgrade kit.
Hmm.
Man.
So hey, one of the things that we haven't mentioned is macOS 10 Leopard.
Well,
that's not in the news.
They didn't show a whole lot at WWDC. They showed Time Machine and they showed some other stuff, but I think
yeah, Time Machine was like the big feature, and really, how many people are going to use that?
I really think they're holding back so that it won't discourage people from buying new stuff now, because I think if they show all the new hotness, people are going to wait. So. Hmm.
Well, I kind of disagree. I mean, I think they showed quite a lot, but yeah, I mean, I also agree that they haven't showed us everything, but some of the stuff that they did show is, I mean, pretty damn cool. I mean, yeah, Time Machine is actually something that's needed very badly because you hear horror stories from people all the time. You know, I didn't back up my machine, or I don't know how to back up my machine, so I had a crash and stuff like that. What Apple's trying to do here is they're trying to make this process as simple as possible. Just basically plug in a FireWire drive, or I'm sure they're going to have some kind of like backup to Mac.com or something like that in the future. So, you know, you won't even have to worry about it. And it's a damn cool feature. I had one crash last year that was almost catastrophic because I hadn't backed up in like almost a year.
Ooh.
And I have all IMG on there. I mean, I have everything on there, right? So if I had lost that, I would have lost years and years and years of work, basically. But I was able to hook up a hard drive, and right before the hard drive went dead, I was able to back things up. So this is a really cool thing, and they've made it just, you know, so easy to do. And then the Spaces thing is something that I would use because when I work on my MacBook, I have like a gazillion windows open, you know, so I'll be able to organize things, and all the other stuff is really cool. I mean, I was really impressed, like from 10.2 to 10.3 to 10.4, you know, there were some nice little upgrades in there, but I really thought that 10.5 has some stuff in there that just makes you want to go, okay, I want this right now. I want to start playing with it. So it's pretty cool. I'm really excited about it, and I think you know, by the time Vista comes out and then this thing comes out, I mean, Apple is so far ahead, and I think that's so, you know, that's probably the biggest thing about WWDC this week was that, you know, Apple is just so far ahead of the ballgame now, you know. Don't you guys agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there isn't even a ballgame. It's like it's two separate ballgames. Like, Microsoft is playing yesterday's game over again.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It didn't get me really excited because, I don't know, I didn't see anything that I would use immediately. Maybe the
I wanted to see
stuff,
some game stuff.
Okay, so
okay, go on.
Okay, so I have a little tidbit exclusively for podcast listeners.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
About Mac OS X Leopard. Okay.
Ooh. Okay. We're on the edge of our seats.
So from what I've heard, one developer told me, and he shall remain nameless, but one developer told me that Mac OS 10.5, or it might be incorporated in a future version of 10.4. We're not sure yet, but it has multi-threaded OpenGL.
Oh,
right?
Wow!
Yeah, and so from the example that the developer saw, they saw an increase of twofold for World of Warcraft frame rates. So it went from something like, just in an example, like from 40 frames a second, you know, to, 40 frames a second is bad anyway, but let's say 60 frames a second to over 130 frames per second, just because of this multi-threaded OpenGL. So that's something that's really exciting. I mean, and I know that Feral hasn't shipped their games because of this. From what I've heard, Fable runs like crap, and they've been waiting all these months for Apple to release this multi-threaded OpenGL, and hopefully they'll release it with 10.3.8 or 10.4.8. But it might be held off until Leopard, we'll see.
What's the specification? Mm-hmm. Is it 2.0 or is it still 1?
I think it's 2.1, actually.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, yeah. I'm so excited. That's awesome.
Everyone's just hiding that power. Man.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. I mean, that's... just imagine having all these games and all of a sudden it's just going to run like almost twice as fast in some cases. So that'll be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, so now World of Warcraft players can punch bees in the face with twice the frame rate as before.
Definitely.
All right. So Maxsoft announces Age of Empires 3. Destineers Maxsoft announced today that a Macintosh version of the Microsoft Game Studios Age of Empires 3 will be coming to Mac. The sequel to Maxsoft's second best-selling title ever. I wonder what was number one. Looking at you, Halo. The latest release in an 18 million unit Age of Empires series. Oh, I'm sure those numbers are just on the Mac alone. 18 million. So it's going to be universal binary and can operate natively in Intel or PowerPC. So it's looking cool. Was this the big game you were hiding from us a few weeks back?
This is a big game, and what's really cool about this is that Age of Empires 3 used Havoc on the PC side, and so the Mac programmers over at Maxsoft were able to rip all that out and then put in the IGEA physics stuff.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, in the past, when developers were facing that situation where, you know, we can't port this game because it uses Havoc. Well, you know, here these programmers were able to rip that out and, you know, basically put in the IGEA physics instead. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I think Age of Empires 3 is a really cool game, and we're going to have a Age of Empires 3 week sometime in mid-September, right before the release. So look for that.
Ooh.
Nice.
All right. Who's got this power?
I'll take this power. Spiderweb News. GeneForge 4 in beta. Spiderweb Software has released another newsletter detailing an independent game maker's recent developments. Highest on the list is the upcoming sequel, GeneForge 4 Rebellion, which is now in beta testing and should be available before Christmas. I haven't played GeneForge. Is it... what is it? Somebody go.
Nerds.
It's a top-down RPG.
Yeah, it's a throwback to the very like old school style RPGs, like the old Ultima games, and it's actually got a pretty good following of people who like those kinds of old school games. And basically, you are you can create your own allies and sort of build your monsters and build their strengths. So it's a pretty cool game. Spiderweb has earned their independent game maker news spot.
Yeah, they have the Spiderweb stuff has a really distinctive look and feel to it, like, and I think they even released some game development tutorial stuff back in the day. I don't know if that
they
was...
did, and I remember being like the first thing that I or the first kind of real game tutorials that I read were Jeff Vogel's.
So that's pretty cool. We'll have to check that game out. I think it's for both Windows and PC, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's cool about the Spiderweb stuff is that he's been doing this for so long now, and really has a cool following, and you know, both the Mac and PC platform, and what was that? Anyway, he has a really cool following, and he keeps on coming out with these games. They're not the prettiest games, but they're very playable and lots of fun. If you haven't checked them out, head over to spidweb.com, I believe is the website.
That's a great URL. Nobody knows how to spell it. All right, so IMG reviews Wingnuts 2. IMG has posted a review of Free vs. Long-awaited sequel Wingnuts 2. Here's a clip from the review. The gameplay style is a mix of old-school 2D shooters like Raiden or 1942 and modern 3D dogfighters. The game is not a side-scrolling game. Each level is a finite entity that gamer can travel around freely. The viewing area is tight in on the action, and the range of the weapons isn't infinite. These two factors, coupled with the almost boggling... That's a word I haven't read on a piece of paper in a wire. Boggling number of enemies in... blah, 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 blah. So, check out the entire review. Check it out at InsideMacGames.com. I think you got a 9 out of 10, right?
9 out of 10.
Bam.
So, very commendable. Blam.
But not good enough for the Apple Game Developer Award.
Yeah, what was that all about? Come on.
Rigged.
Lame.
Well,
Rigged.
Let's talk about this. Chuncer, have you heard this power? Who got the design?
Yeah, I heard about it. Yeah, I heard about the Freeverse guys whining about this.
Well,
essentially,
I mean, come on.
Let's tell the folks what it's about. So every year at WWDC, Apple gives out design awards for different, like, you know, apps or, you know, like there's one particular for games. And so this year it went to The Sims 2 with Wingnuts 2 receiving second place. What do you guys think about that?
Rigged. Lame.
What do you think, Spencer?
Well, a Mac game is a Mac game. If you know, if all things were equal, then I guess what Apple should have done is best original Mac game and then best ported game or something like that.
I think so.
I mean,
because
that's...
obviously, The Sims 2 is a genius game, you know. But compared to, I mean, talking within the Mac game market, which one took more talent to produce, you know? I'm getting caught up
on. What took 4 years to complete? Is that what you're asking?
I'm just saying, look, one's, you know, I could have told you 2 years ago The Sims was going to come out. You know, it's fairly obvious. And, you know, it's just another port. Sure, they added some cool features, but, you know, Wingnuts 2 is a totally original game. It's one of the biggest, in fact, probably the biggest original game release we've had in years.
That's true. I won't argue with the fact that Wingnuts 2 is a fantastic game. However, from a playability standpoint, I can see The Sims 2 winning over Wingnuts 2 because it has just so much a much broader appeal, and there's Wingnuts 2 has, you know, a bit of it can get kind of repetitive or whatnot. Same with The Sims 2, I guess, but it's just totally two different games, so I think it's kind of hard to judge both. You know what I mean?
What
is an arcade game? You know. What is an arcade game, and one is a simulation game that has like huge, kind of, I don't know, broad appeal?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying though,
translation: The Sims 2 takes zero skill to play.
Here's another thing that got me about the WWDC awards: Unity got beat out for best developer tool by a text editor.
Which one?
I don't remember.
So
but
I
talked to David Helgeson, and he was like, I went to school with that guy that wrote the text editor. He wasn't happy. But they did win second place for best use of graphics on OS X, beat out by Modo, which I have started using and love very, very much. It's a 3D modeling package.
That's a bunch of words.
But anyway, I don't know. I was not happy with the outcome of the awards this year.
Rigged. It's all debacle.
Send an email to S. John at Apple.com. I'm sure he'll be happy to to hear your complaint there.
Sjobs at Apple.com. Come on for battle. Go.
Look, podcast. One time in the forum, we got a poster that says "Love Your Show" by a guy named Steve Jobs. That was the real one. So I know he listens to the show now.
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty sure now if you email Steve Jobs, you get a reply back that says, "This email has been received by Apple Legal and blah 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 blah." Whereas before you could actually email him before. Now you can't.
Wow. So yeah. Would they sue you if you send an email to?
No, they don't. They don't sue you.
They just say that the machine.
Yeah, it's gone into the Apple machine. Uh-huh. So before you could email Steve, now you can't do it. Oh well. So hey, I posted this news article on Wednesday called "Trans Gaming to Shut Out Mac Publishers." Mm-hmm. And basically, it was this article over at Mac Observer by our friend Brad Cook that talked about Cider, right?
Is he really our friend, or are you just being nice?
Sorry?
Is he really our friend, or are you just being nice?
Yeah, I've met him a few times. He's a cool guy. He used to do the Apple Games articles a while back, and then he moved over to Mac Central, I think, and then he moved over to Mac Observer. So he's doing like a lot of the game stuff for Mac Observer, which is kind of cool. So anyway, if you haven't heard about Cider, which I'm sure you have, is this wrapping technology that basically allows you to play Windows games on a Mac, right? And what this article talked about, though, was one of the interesting tidbits about the article was that it kind of insinuated that some of the Mac publishers were going to be just not be able to license Cider, which kind of could be limiting the number of Cider games that could be coming out here. So here's a quote. "With such current publishers as Aspyr and Maxoft typically spending months to months bringing games to the Mac, Mr. Say said, we imagine that they are reevaluating their business models. Our technology does revolutionize how games are brought to the Mac, which we believe will result in a paradigm shift in the Mac gaming publishing landscape. He added that Transgaming has no plans to license Cider to other companies, but we're still open to discussion."
See, I knew there was a catch.
Yeah, there's always a catch. I do have a problem with this, and that is that the Transgaming guys will not be able to go to EA and to Activision, some of the bigger publishers, and say, "Hey, we've got this technology that now you know allows you to play the Windows games on your Mac, and you know, are you interested in licensing it or whatever." To me, EA has they have no inkling, no desire to publish games on the Mac. They're just way too big for that, right? And so I think it'd be kind of dangerous for Transgaming to kind of think that they're going to be owning the Mac gaming market from now on, you know? And again, this is my opinion. I think it behooves Transgaming to, you know, to listen to everybody and if it requires Aspyr licensing so that Activision's games can come out and Electronic Arts' games can come out and LucasArts' games can come out on a Mac, then so be it, you know. So that's I'm a little worried about that Transgaming has no plans to license Cider, you know. If it's this cool technology that is going to be available on a Mac and they say that it's going to be transforming the Mac gaming market, then why not license it out to companies like Maxoft and Aspyr? You know, and Maxoft is tight with Microsoft, you know. And so anyway, there's a lot of cool possibilities there, but I'm a bit worried about this kind of what's going on.
What I don't understand is that this technology, this new revolutionary technology that they're talking about, has been around for a long time. Like, when we interviewed Dennis Piakowski back in the day, he was talking about he had the same thing. He has a library that he can essentially just drop PC code into, and it works for the most part without some tweaking. I mean, with some tweaking, and it's like a month, and he's got the game ready. I mean, most porting houses have this exact same thing or something very similar to it in-house. So I don't really get what the big deal is.
Well, I think the big deal is that Transgaming is promising... well, There are a few important points. First is that they won't need the source code. From what I understand, they won't need the PC source code from the publisher, right? And a lot of times, that seems to be the biggest headache. I've heard horror stories from Aspyr and some other developers where they can't get the code from the PC developer. There's been games that have been canceled because the PC developer doesn't either have the time, the desire, or whatever it is to get that PC code over to over to Aspyr. There was one game in particular, really popular game. What was it? I know one of them was Pirates. Yeah. there was another game. I don't remember what it was. It was back like 2-3 years ago. It was an extremely popular game. And
what kind of game?
I don't remember. I think it was an EA game. And so they went to the developer, and the developer said, no, we don't want to give out our code, right? We think our code is precious. Oh, Battlefield. That's what it was. It was Battlefield 1942. And I mean, it took basically years of negotiation to finally get that code to Aspyr. You know, it was like a 2-3 year process. That's why the game came out so late, you know, on the Mac. So I think that's one issue. The other issue is that Cider promises that they can have these available for the Mac in a matter of days. It won't take months to, you know, basically port a Mac or a PC game over to the Mac. We're talking days now, not months and months.
I believe that when I see it.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. I mean, a lot of people are pessimistic about it because Transgaming has supposedly had this technology in the past where they can basically port games to the Mac in a matter of weeks, and that kind of didn't work out too well. So there's still a bit of hesitancy from gamers and whatnot until we see these games up and running. You know,
that's pretty big claims. It can, you know. And can use it to play games in my Phantom game console. It'll play all games, and then I can play Duke Nukem Forever with it too.
Exactly.
So I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Do you want one of those Phantom discs? You guys ever see those?
No.
Like the Phantom never came out. Oh, here's the story. So the Phantom, it was this game console that was supposed to be all digital downloads, going to be, you know, revolutionary. And they kept showing it at E3, but it never really got released, never came to fruition. But one time they showed it, and it was like on a disc that had a cool-looking disc. So they sold the disc. So you can buy the disc from their website, but not the game console.
Awesome. All right. I'll believe this when I see it.
Yep.
So, hey, I hear World of Warcraft players are addicted. Has anybody heard about this?
Actually, I have, because I'm reading the news article right now. Ars Technica recently examined the claims of Dr. Marissa Hecht Orzac, a clinical psychologist at McLean Hospital in Massachusetts. The doctor asserts that up to 40% of World of Warcraft players are addicted to the game. Now, it's funny, because this goes on to say that there is no basis for this percentage at all. But she claims that even if the percentage is 5 to 10%, which is standard for most addictive behaviors, there's a huge number of people who are out of control. Now, you know, there's no basis for this 40%, but I can tell you that, yes, that players of these games do get addicted to the point of losing jobs, relationships, of not bathing. I mean, when I used to play Clan Lord, and
back in the day, Justin.
Back in the day, I used to play Clan Lord. They actually had a kind of like a census character that logged how much you were in there. And I must have been logging like maybe 90 hours plus per week on that freaking game. That's over 2 full-time jobs per week. This is when I was in college.
Yep.
So, I mean, it,
that's
it
just
gets,
sad.
Yeah.
Clan Lord will do that to you.
Like there were no hot dates that year in college.
Clan Lord was your hot
unless
date.
Unless they were on Clan Lord.
Yeah, the hot date was the Clan Lord hunting party. and it was pathetic. And the thing is, it's like basically, you're spending all this time a week on these games, and it's basically nothing more than working the same, you know, they call them hunting grounds, but it's basically just camping the same spawn point for a monster and just grinding up your experience points. It's retarded, and all games follow this. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's the you got to space out your rewards from the time you put in. It's like a very calculated balance in reward, mm-hmm. and then like future rewards, and you know how you space them and how much time there is between the rewards. I bet you could go to college and learn how to do that.
But the thing that gets me about it is that you know the makers of these games they know that they've hit a chord on this with these players. It's like they know that these players they have this desire to be like the best character, have the best stuff, be the most powerful, whatever. So people will spend, you know, over 100 hours a week. Like I think the most addicted player on Clan Lore is playing like 130 hours a week.
Jeez.
And you know, just to get that extra piece of +5 face stabbing sword, you know.
I don't know. I think that a lot of people have addictive personalities, and that's partly to blame for all of this. But you know, I think Blizzard's got a hit game. You can't blame him for that.
Well, maybe. I don't know. All right, we got any more news?
I can tell you this. If you plan on getting married, you need to give up those addictions.
Don't worry. I don't. All right, so now it's time for the listener emails. All right. So let's see. Our first email is from Mark G. He says, we all know about Justin Fix, Kill Monty. We haven't heard anything about William Miller's games. He says he's an independent developer, or at least he used to be. So what are his developed games?
Well, Mark G, I haven't published any games. I'm like, I don't know, 2 years into college and have worked on a bunch of stuff. And I've got a bunch in the pipe, but nothing ever got out. So I ended up getting hired, you know, before I could complete anything. So I'm making real games.
Now, see, I want to comment on this because I don't know where these people came from. I don't know if they come from iDev Games or what. But I remember like back when your title was independent game developer, I must have got like IMs like every week from people asking what you developed. Like, you know, just like self-righteous armchair developers. I don't know where the hell they all come from. But like, well, William says he's a game developer. What has he made? I haven't seen him make anything.
I made a tic-tac-toe simulator.
Yeah, basically, and it's like, well, you know, he's worked on this project, and I'll show them Alchemy, and I'll show them all kinds of stuff. He's like, well, what has he done by himself? It's like, dude,
where's his Tetris
up.
Clone?
Stop bothering me.
Everybody's got to make a Tetris clone, and then get sued by Tetris and complain about it.
I had a project called Alchemy, which I guess I'm gonna still maybe pursue later, but it was all like hand-drawn animation, like all the assets were hand-drawn, and we got the engine written and all of the, you know, stuff done, but it's just really hard to get people to draw stuff, you know, over and over again.
Okay, speaking of whiny people, I have this story for you guys.
All right.
Okay, so last night someone really late at night placed an order through MacGameStore.com, okay? Mm-hmm. And they ordered two different games, and they ended up paying through PayPal, okay?
Right.
So when I woke up this morning, I went ahead and logged on to the IMG or MacGameStore.com admin site and processed the order and everything, okay? Then I went to check my email for all our customer service emails that we get, right? And here's this email from this person, a lady, and basically said, I haven't got my registration code. Cancel the order right away, okay? Okay. And so I sent back a reply, and the reply said, ma'am, you know, when you pay via PayPal, it says right on the checkout page that it can take up to 24 hours to process the order, because those have to be done manually, right?
Right.
Whereas the credit card orders get processed immediately. That's just the way the store is set up. And so I sent the reply, and I said, we've already processed your order. You know, here's the two games, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I got an irate call from this lady.
Uh-oh.
She was pissed. She was so mad. She's like, I got your email. This doesn't solve anything. And I'm wondering why you did that. And I'm like, well, you know, I woke up this morning, I saw your order there, I went ahead and processed it, I saw that you had sent two payments via PayPal, and then after I processed the order, I saw your email. So I figured you still wanted these games, you know. It was only like 4 or 5 hours later. No, it wasn't. It was like 8 hours later. And and that, you know, and I had sent you an email, and I wanted you to cancel the order, but instead you went ahead and processed it and stuff like that. And I said, listen, I'll go ahead and process the refunds. It's okay. And then at one point she started just yelling at me. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. She started yelling at me and saying, this is not right, and how come you did that? Why did you do that? And stuff like that. So this is the first time I've ever hung up on a customer, because I just thought she was being a total biatch. I mean, I love our customers. I try to do everything possible for our customers. When our customers order a game, you figure that they want the game, okay? And so that's why those orders are processed. But no, this person was insistent that I did the wrong thing. She demanded an apology, all kinds of things, right? And she just wouldn't accept the fact that I was going to process the refund. And, you know, this is on a Sunday morning, and it kind of got me irate to the point where I hung up on her. Well, she called back again, like a minute later. And she said, why'd you hang up on me? And I said, well, ma'am, you were being disagreeable. You weren't accepting what I was telling you. I explained why, you know, your order was processed before we got your email and stuff like that. Nope. She was insistent that I was completely wrong and that we run a shoddy business and all kinds of other stuff. and once again, she says, I demand an apology. I want an apology. And I said, no, I'm not giving you an apology. I think you're being completely unreasonable. I sent you your refunds, and that's it. I don't have to apologize for anything. It said right on the website, orders via PayPal can take up to 24 hours to be processed, and that's it. So I hung up on her a second time. So
just out of curiosity, what games did she get?
Oh, they were some of the casual games.
Uh huh. Those are the worst types, right?
See, that's the danger of casual gaming, is tech support for casual gaming. You are dealing with complete, utter idiots. Like, I have no problem saying it. It's like, these people are like, you know, soccer moms that play Yahoo games, and they don't know a damn thing about the internet or the computer, or where the power button is, or what a registration code is. So, I don't even want to think about it. It keeps me up at night just thinking about dealing with those types of people.
Well, yeah, I can tell you from my experience that you have, and I don't call them idiots because I don't believe they're idiots, but there are a lot of novice people out there who want to play games on their Mac, right? And a lot of people, you know, they're just not like us, where we've spent all our lives downloading stuff and stuff like that. For a lot of people, it's a difficult process to understand that, you know, when click on a button.
Do those videos ever go up?
Yes. But you click on a button, right? And then, like, nothing happens. Safari doesn't show you half the time what's going on. You have to go to your download manager to see if it's actually downloading. The other problem is that after it's downloaded, you don't know where it is, right? So there's a lot of issues, you know, that frustrates people. And believe me, we've been doing this for a year, and we almost have it down to a science where, you know, we can tell people how to... you know, how to do this or that. But there's some people who just, they're just not reasonable. And for those type of people, we can't do anything. We just, you know, if they can't get the game to work, we have no choice but to refund their money and move on, you know.
We humbly suggest that you instead spend your money on third grade schooling. I don't know. Seriously, it's like, I don't know. Is it a bad business model where if you don't know how to download a file and find it where we don't want your business?
No,
or am I being unreasonable here?
No, I think that is unreasonable, because if any business that you have, first of all, that is consumer oriented, you're going to deal with issues no matter what. You know, it could be a you know, if you have a pizza delivery business, or you make CDs for a living or whatever it is. In this case, you know, a store where you can buy Mac games, right? So there are going to be a lot of people who just don't know how to do things, and you have to, as the proprietor of a website that does this, you have to facilitate, you know, or you have to try to help them out, or else your business will not be successful, you know. And I'll put that example to anything. It can be, you know, a pizza delivery place, right? When a customer calls and says, "I want a pizza," and then, you know, whatever kinds of issues can come up when you're ordering a pizza, you have to deal with consumers who can get angry because there's too much cheese on there, or, "Hey, you forgot my pepperoni," you know, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that is, you know, like the on the business too. Like, you forgot the pepperoni, okay, fine, you know, own up to it, it's your fault. If the customer cannot download a file, I mean, like, when I start a business, on my order form, I want to have an IQ test before the submit button. And if you fail, it just takes you to, like, back to yahoo.com or something.
Huh. Okay. Well, I can tell you, you're not going to make any money that way. So. Justin Fick, don't go into business for yourself. So.
All right. So who's taking this next email?
I'll do it. All right. Sipping the Swede. We got an email from Sipping the Swede. He says, "I'm stupid in the head, and I've missed two live podcasts in a row. Shame on you, Sipping. So I was sitting here listening to the now obsolete episode 31, and I'm thinking, man, these theme songs are totally lame. And you're all, it's got to be more in your face. So I'm bored, and I'm making a team of my own A. I have no idea what year it is." So he sent us some audio files.
All right, I'm queuing these up now.
All right, cue these up and just go ahead and play them, because the rest of this email is in totally elite Ebonic speak. and I cannot read this without a translator.
Over, go ahead. He sent us a follow-up email while I'm downloading his little file.
Okay.
Read the second one.
So what? Okay. While we cue this up, so he says, "What? I just listened to episode 32 of the Inside Mac Games podcast, and what do I hear? You're escaping. This means that I made the awesome IMG podcast theme song last week all for nothing. I am so upset, I'll even probably be too upset to call in for battle on Sunday. Just for that, I have made a pre-recorded Swedish insult, which I demand that you play and feel insulted, or else I will call you after battle and sound really tired. Actually, I'll probably just do that anyway, so now you have to play in either case. And don't think I'm not following you to whatever podcast you choose to battle on."
All right, so here's his theme song. We'll play a little of it. I think, again, everybody sends us in these audio files that are like 4 hours long. Let's see how long this one is. Mark B. sent us an email. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But he cut down. Remember he sent us the Arabian Stud theme?
Mm-hmm.
And he cut it down from 12 minutes to 9 minutes. And he's like, "You have to play it now." All right, so here's Sippin' this theme.
"The IMG podcast will be more successful than all those who have gone before it. Because the time is right, the hosts are right, the topic is right, you are right. Now is the time."
Fast forward a little.
"The Inside Mac Games podcast."
So that's it.
I like that.
Thanks.
Yeah, not bad.
Question mark? Tunser, if you'd like to use that, just send me an email and I can forward it to you.
"This is Sip on the Swedes pre-recorded insult time. Now going to insult you in Swedish. Din raghåriga krabat, du luktar som fjolårets kräftskivarester och du är så dum att du inte kan hälla sand ur skorna om du såg instruktioner under hälen. Du skulle få sparken från M&M-fabriken för att du sorterade bort dubbelvena och du är så fet att du rubbar tidvattnet. Du är din spetsöriga islandsracka, om livet är en fest så är du stoppet i toan som fulla...
Lacka blicka, kalla, 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 kalla,
That's an insult back in Iraqi. So there you go.
Now we know you have Arabian roots. Was that actual Iraqi Tunsir Dinus?
Nah, I just made that up. Oh. But it sounded damn good.
So let's get to the end of his insult here.
I think om det finns en enda positiv sak att säga om det så är det inte något fel med som inte kan avhjälpas med en inkarnation. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was the worst insult right there. Goodbye.
You should just play good that to the lady when she calls you back a third time.
Oh man.
Yeah, just play that.
All right, he's got this next email.
No, yeah, I have no idea what was said, but I imagine there is a buzzer X or something warranted in there.
Yeah, our Swedish listeners have just been flabbergasted by what they just heard.
The Swedish baby language. Jesus is crying.
All right, who's got this next email?
All right, this one's halfway serious, so I say William Miller takes this one.
Oh, the one from Christopher R.
Now, let's talk about this email first. Let me start it, and somebody else can pick it up. Just listen to episode 31 about gamerhood, about the open digital market as opposed to closed Iron Curtain style that publishers seem to be set on. I had to write in. So he goes in and kind of talks about it, you know, about all the importances of you know, market availability and all that. And he says at the end, P.S. King Buck. I like it already. I'm sorry for the big block of text. Perhaps Wayne can make like the glue and read it for you. I know it will take some time to read, so I've enclosed something I thought would entertain you while those nasty people are using their word skills. So they're just giant picture of a hamburger. Ooh, that's looking good. William, you might want to take this email.
All right, so he goes on to say, it seems to me that the basic problem is getting games to the gamers with the convenience that digital distribution can allow, but without playing into the hands of pirates who can copy and redistribute anything that's allowed to get in their hands. The only solution I can see here is to make their copying and redistributing irrelevant. Here's my thought on how. Since the only constant for a Mac gamer is the Mac itself, I think the only method of assuring an open digital marketplace with DRM protection would be an OS-level DRM framework written by Apple into Mac OS.
Tenser Dennis, what do you think about that?
Well, I could tell you that there's a lot of, you know, a lot of thought has been put into the DRMs for digital downloads. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the way Gamerhood is going to work is it's going to be tied to your Mac address. So when you go ahead and run the game and you pay for it, that copy of the game is tied to your Mac address. So if you then copy it to a different Mac, it just won't work. So I'm not sure what exactly...
But is there any way
exactly
to spoof your Mac address?
I don't think so, and that's why it's like the most, probably one of the most secure ways of making sure that, you know, stuff like this isn't pirated. That said, there are a lot of smart people out there who will find ways to crack the application. You know, that's just a given. It happens on the PC side all the time. It will happen on the Mac side. But you know, this kind of stuff will prevent you know, casual pirating, and that's kind of what the publishers are after for the most part. Make sense?
All right.
Well, okay. What I want to know is, where was my burger?
Dude, that was for me and me alone. And now it's time for the contest. I forgot it auto-ducks. Okay, so for the contest last week, or 2 weeks back, we asked you guys to send in your submissions for fan art for Freeverse Originals. So, we looked in our mailbox, and we had 4 submissions. That's right, 4 submissions. Now, the first one wasn't even something somebody had drawn. It was a Photoshop of a bunch of Freeverse art Photoshopped together. Lame. That doesn't count. We asked for fan art, not Photoshop. So then we got 3 more submissions. So let's see. William Miller, you want to talk about this first one?
All right. The first one, I guess, is a very crude drawing of a djinn from Kill Monty. Looks like it's done with a 5-pixel brush and paint in black to the mouse with your left hand cut off.
Well,
your teeth.
Okay, go ahead.
It says go ahead, Justin Fick. You drive this boat.
Okay, well the email reads, since your contest in episode 31 actually had a good prize and you got no submissions, I decided to make an entry that was as bad as possible. If you get less than 3 submissions, I want my Wingnuts 2.
So there you go. You have won Wingnuts 2. With that.
But however, he has gone on to say KOL art rock, so that is in reference to Kingdom of Loathing, I believe, which has this exact same... It's Kingdom of Loathing is a web-based massive multiplayer online game with this exact kind of art, and it has millions of players. And awesome. It's actually one of the funniest games I've ever played in my life.
All right, wow. Our next submission. I'm going to skip this middle one, guys, because I think that one's the best. The next submissions we got was from who is this from? Austropopolis. What is that? I can't read this word.
Australopithecus.
Australopithecus.
There you go.
So he says, "Is the contest still going on? Well, here's my entry. If not, am I the only one being creeped out by the thing? So it's a monkey playing solitaire, and it's this very the art style is very strange.
I like it. It looks hand painted to me. I don't know if it actually was, but
I think it's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, do you like the guys better than the second one?
I like his little blue underwear too, and his hairy chest.
Which one do you guys like more, the second one or the third one? Which one's going to be the winner?
I don't know.
I like the last one.
Well, it's a toss-up. Who knows? You're all winning copies of the game anyway. So the final one we got was from Lucas. It says, here's a submission for the fan contest. So it's Kill Monty, kind of with the Kill Monty colors and a little Freeverse style monkey he's drawn. So
you know, I hate this one because he didn't use stroke.
Should he use stroked?
I hate it. I'm gonna get him on AIM and I'm gonna cuss him out about it for
about an
hour.
You know what we should do? We should take his CD key and erase one number from it, and then tell him like we should erase the last number. So like when he goes to put in the CD key, he'll have to try it approximately 10 times to get it. Take that.
That's right.
All right. Well, now what do we do? What is? Oh, Stump Buck. That's right. Everybody's his favorite section. I know it's Tunster's
favorite. The last time ever, Stump Buck.
Stump Buck lives on bestdamnpodcastever.com. Tunster, do the segue, go.
And now it's time for Stump Buck!
I love it.
How about
all right, guys.
That?
That was awesome. That was the best segue you've ever done. The kids must be out.
Ever.
So, all right. Who's got heat for me today?
All right, Blackbuck, I got some heat for you today. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready for this heat.
All right, my heat today is
who?
Boom. B-O-M.
What? We've done this one before. I pwned Justin Fick with this one.
What? It's
Bomberman clone.
Yes.
Well, Boom was made by Factor Software and was sort of a clone of a Unix app that came out. It was really similar. But it had pretty cool, level.
Look, you better go find some new heat while Justin Fick lays his heat on me.
God.
Totally pwned. That's like -2 points, William Miller. All right, Justin Fick, because I even got it the first time. All right, Justin Fick, go.
Yeah, I just didn't remember. Go, Justin Fick, redeem me.
All right, my heat this week is called Feldro.
Who?
Feldro. Theldrow.
Feldro. Man, see, you never even played this game. See,
no, I have.
We're at the point now where you're looking up.
I hated
stuff.
It, but I played it.
Feldro. Okay. Obviously, I've never heard this word before, so it's probably a mythical word with a mythical world as well. Maybe some Japanese symbology, kind of runes floating around. It's like mist. You're going through like the runes, and you got to touch the runes. I don't know. I can't even come up with anything at this point.
All right, so Feldro. Now it was like an amateur independent RPG, and it's pretty unknown to PC gamers. It's a Mac shareware game.
Fantasy oriented.
Uh-huh. But you're not getting points because you haven't played it.
Any of these games.
But it's got like a first person view. So it's kind of like it's kind of like Might and Magic if you played the old Might and Magic games. It's first person grid based, and then it goes into a separate battle screen.
Oh yeah, I hate those where it's like walk forward, turn right, cut, dude, lame.
Yeah, basically.
Lame. Those are no longer allowed. Grid-based first-person role-playing games.
Well, it's interesting because this the spiritual sequel to this, Cythera, was actually published by Ambrosia Software.
Oh, cool.
So this was kind of like the spiritual predecessor to that.
What was did anybody ever play the game Stonekeep? Does anybody remember that one?
Was that wasn't like Daggerfall the sequel to that, or the other way around?
Maybe. Stonekeep was like, again, one of those, you know, grid-based first-person things, but like it had a lot of full-motion video in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
whenever
you talk to somebody, it'd be like a little video of a person, you know, cheesy Myst style. Oh, I didn't see you come in there. Hello, and welcome to my library.
Now, I remember playing a game. Oh, I actually remember what this was called. But it was, I remember downloading a demo for it, or getting it off of the Mac Addict CD, but it was kind of like that, only instead of that, it had, like, frame by frame of pre-rendered 3D everything. So the demo was like, you were in a room and you fought a scorpion, but the scorpion was like, it was like a movie of a pre-rendered scorpion. That was the whole demo, and the whole thing was like 100 megabytes.
And that was massive. Like, you could never fathom 100 megabytes back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Back then, this was when, like, the 6 megabyte for Realms was ridiculous.
All right, Tensor Dennis, lay your heat on me.
All right, I got one last one for you.
You better stump me with your last one.
Bloodsuckers.
Ooh.
I remember Bloodsuckers.
This sounds so familiar. Bloodsuckers. Oh, I better get this. Was this, I think this was, it was a vampire game. It was like a third person RPG kind of thing. Alright, well, what is it then?
Okay, Bloodsuckers was Pangea's first ever Mac game.
Oh, that's right. I knew that. No, see, what had happened was Justin Cook was making some noises and confusing me in the background. Meanwhile, William Miller was over there making some eyes at me, and you know he makes eyes at me, and it makes me a little uncomfortable. All right? I don't like his eyes. That's obviously, it's Pangea's first game. I knew that.
Okay, so let me describe this game. It was pretty hilarious. Really dumb and really hilarious. Basically, you have this arm, right? In the window, on the bottom of the window, a picture of an arm, right? Mm-hmm. And then there would be these little mosquitoes flying around and then basically trying to suck your blood out of your arm, right? And you had this hand. You control the hand with the mouse, and you had to swat at the mosquitoes. And then you would get points like that. That was it.
I love that swatting
Vinba,
sound effect.
You've interrupted
the
show again. Come here. Come here.
Oh, Jesus.
He comes in every Sunday. It's like, Blake's doing a podcast? Oh, my God. He is so greasy.
Let me come in and make this podcast even longer.
You know, Tunso, our new show, 7 hours. That's what the fans want.
Okay, I have a promise to ING podcast listeners. The shows will be under 30 minutes.
Yahoo! Woo!
and then you'll actually be able to get actual, you know, Mac gaming news from it. I'm sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, not only that, but we're also going to be like talking like this just days after Apple announced the Intel Mac Pro has come out. Site our owners and something like that.
How's it different now?
Well, right now we go, Just days after Apple announced the new Intel-based Mac Pro towers, sites are now starting to report on the first round of reviews and
benchmarks.
It's going
to be really wild, guys.
It's no, it's going to be really fast. Boom, boom, boom.
I don't like boom, boom. Boom, boom's bad. All right. Who are you? William Miller, redeem yourself, go.
All right, I got another one. Now, this game I downloaded back in the day. And I think I actually bought this game. I don't know. Maybe I didn't. But I bought it and I installed it and tried to play it. And it was too complicated. I was too dumb to figure it out. My game is Flight Commander 2.
Well, obviously, it's a flight simulator. Come on. How hard is this? It's a flight simulator. What was that flight simulator you used to play on the Mac? Was it related to Hellcats? Wasn't that one of them?
It's not a flight simulator.
It's not a flight Flight Commander? How is it not a flight simulator?
Well, it kind of is. It's a military strategy game where it has like an overhead view and you control all these airplanes flying around. But it's I think it was turn-based and it had lots of buttons and dials and stuff that I didn't understand.
Sorry, I swallowed that vomit. All right, guys, you know what's coming up next.
Well, first of all, I have to bring up, because the chat is, there's rumors abound in the chat that believe that Tunzer is high on speed today. Is that true?
High on speed? No. I'm high on other stuff, like coffee, like, tea.
And an absence of Blake Buck, William Miller, and Justin Fick on the podcast.
Yeah, and I noticed that he's a little too happy about everything right now.
It's all right, Tunzer. It's all right. Okay, guys, so now you know what time it's.
I'm actually sad to see you guys go, because now I have to do the podcast.
Oh, it's not too hard, right? Right? All right, so now, guys, we know what's coming up next. Battle, obviously, but I thought this week, you know, instead of just doing the ridiculous battle we always do, we should take a minute to kind of calm it down a little bit and talk about the show. We've had a lot of laughs on this show. It's been a lot of fun. Could you stop laughing? Oh my goodness.
Okay.
It's been a hard while, you know. We've shared a lot of magical times, and I just hope that everybody's gonna remember the Inside Mac Games podcast for all it's worth. Because I know it sure holds a special place in my heart. And I wanted to ask each and every one of you, what do you think?
Oh!
It's time for battle! Get them calls in!
It's the Mac Games podcast, go!
Oh my god, he's so quiet.
Hello?
Oh, you need to turn yourself up, Mike. We can barely hear you.
Hello?
There we go.
We hear you now.
Much better.
Go.
All right. Okay. When I first heard that music, Gary. Then when the battle music came on, I was just like, oh yeah, that was just awesome, man. Perfect. Okay. Anyway, I've got a stump up for you. The title kind of gives it away, but Mr. Mosquito. You play that.
Mr. Mosquito, obviously you're a mosquito and you suck blood, just like that game we just talked about. Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike.
You don't suck blood in that game. Remember the game before? You have to swat the mosquito before.
Oh, that's the same thing. That's the same thing. More heat go.
I remember the game the most because there was one level where there was a girl in a tub and you had to fly up on her and it said, this is a perfect sucking opportunity. And you had to fly up on her and suck blood from her, you know.
Oh my goodness! That's not IMG podcast safe, sir. I know that confused your adolescent body, much like Booth Babes.
Where he go?
All right. I saw this thing a couple of days back, or actually, no, it was more like this morning. Some guy. He did a comparison between a Mac Pro with a 20-inch Apple display and a Dell Precision 690 tower, and the Apple and the Mac Pro just whooped ass.
Oh!
I put it in the chat. Like, And the price was $3,198 for the Mac and $3,211 for the Dell. And the Dell was out without a monitor. So, I mean, this just like, whoops, some serious. And this gives no reason for PC users not to switch over, other than, you know, the people who use their computers for nothing but AIM and MySpace.
Blake Buck.
Yeah. I'm the king of MySpace. BlakeBuck.com. Wait a minute. MySpace.com/BlakeBuck. Not BlakeBuck.com/MySpace. I should refer that to site just for when I get it backwards.
You just degraded the IMG podcast even further by making a MySpace page. Just horrible.
Don't worry, Tunch is going to be keeping up with that one, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I will create a MySpace page purely to leave angry little comments on your profile.
Okay, keep telling yourself that, Mike. We know you have 3,000 friends. Where he go?
3,000 friends.
Is that it?
No. That's not it.
My finger's getting heavy, Mike.
Now,
I heard
last night in the chat, you and Aussie Mac Gamer had a bone to pick with us, so he did go.
Oh, we did.
Go.
But he's, dude, it's like freaking 7:29 in the morning, and he's got school, so he can't be on. But first of all, he's not from Britain.
Goodness. My finger's getting real heavy, Mike. You're not doing too good right now.
I have that. William Miller, did you get that audio file of him saying crikey?
Yes, I did.
That's gold. Did you listen to it?
Yes, I did. It's just him saying crikey.
But it's funny as hell. Have you listened to Steve Irwin?
He
sounds just like him.
Can't hold my finger up! Oh, no!
No!
I love how he screamed no.
Alright, get your calls in.
Tunter, if you want to buzz anybody, you just type buzz in the chat.
Powers are really doing well. Get this, this link he posted in the chat. I mean, that's pretty hot. Can't beat it. What is this?
What did I do? What have I done?
No!
Why do you keep calling me? I was gonna call you.
Simmons, anyway, we battle, go!
Yeah, I'm now going to read you the Swedish insult translated into English.
Oh my, I don't know if we can handle that.
Forgive me for mispronouncing the Shakespearean parts I borrowed. You shag-hired villain, you smell like the leftovers from last year's crayfish party. You're so stupid you couldn't pour the sand out of your shoes, even if there were instructions under the heel. You'd get fired from the M&M factory for tossing out the W's, and you're so fat that you influence the tides. You prick-eared cur of Iceland. If life is a party, you're the clog in the toilet that drunk Uncle Irvin always makes. And if the earth is a Tivoli carousel, you're the kid who rotation vomits on all the bystanders. Go play with a plastic bag, you dorky via Boulogne smelling junk bucket. If there's one positive thing to say about you, it's that there's nothing wrong with you that can't be helped with reincarnation. That's battle!
That was amazing. Blam!
Oh, I love
all
it.
Right, more
Simmons,
heat, Simmons,
go. More heat for us?
No, I'm kind of heated out now.
That's all the heat he needs to bring.
Thanks, Sippin'.
All right, thanks for calling in. All right, here comes Alex.
Hey.
Alex.
Oh, hello, Alex.
Hey. All right, calm down now. All right, Locust. That's my heat for this week.
Locust?
Seven Duck with Locusts.
Locusts?
It's not a game. That's an animal that lives in the south. It lands on my car and leaves its little husk there, and I have to wipe it off.
No, locust, L-O-C-U-S.
Locusts.
Okay, that's obviously the X spelling indicates robot. Probably a spinoff of Will Smith's iRobot. You have to stop the robots who are bad and gotta punch them with your, you know, street-style skills.
Kick them with your Converse.
There you go.
This game where you're like in these little like trodden like cars and you push this ball all around into a hole.
Oh, Well, that sounds like a great game.
It was really old.
There's no punching in the face of robots and no kicking with Converse?
No.
Oh, man, more heat go.
All right. First of all, I think the fact that you guys are leaving stinks. I think that it's going to be 30 minutes. This sucks. This is a total sod for making it only 30 minutes.
No, a 30-minute show is going to be great, right?
Hunter, rebuttal, go.
Well, it doesn't matter because you're going to have two shows now for the price of one. So what are you complaining about?
That's true.
I like to complain. I'm Jewish.
Well, that would explain it then. That would explain it.
Instant winner.
That's pretty good, Alex. You got more heat?
Yeah, I got invited to produce this software, which, you know, a lot better than what you guys have to do with the pod, you know, little interview.
You got invited to Freeverse Software?
Yeah, I'm gonna take a tour.
When are you going?
I don't know.
Hey, listen,
you
know,
gets invited to Freeverse.
What?
Send the email back, that's all.
Oh, well, I'm going next week on Wednesday.
Wednesday? We're gonna hang out, Justin, okay? Oh,
oh
wait, Wednesday?
Will Mill. Will Mill is going Wednesday.
And I am making I'm making a trip back there myself, but that date is not planned or set yet.
Later today, I'm going to be making a trip to the kitchen.
For burger.
For burger.
I'm going to hot dogs for like nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to show you a good place.
What now?
I'm going to show you a good place around the city.
Yeah. I don't know. Do I have a place around the city? Is that what you said?
It's a good place for ham for hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. Good place. But I hear they're overpriced, though. You can't get them for like nothing. More heat, go.
That's it. I'm gonna hang up. I'll see you guys.
All right.
Bye. Adios. Last call for heat. Heat. Last call. All
right. I got. We got Peachy, but he wants us to call him in the UK, so I'm gonna blow this heat up.
Are you gonna whisper at us again, Peachy?
We're not calling you if you're gonna be whispering.
Mike again. Well, wait.
Whispering sweet nothings.
Like,
oh, hello, Mike.
Why, hello. Oh, and Blake Buck, I just have to say, when you laugh, you sound like an evil screaming monkey high on ecstasy. Goodbye.
Oh, he hung up before I could burn him. Oh, no, he'll burn anyway. I burned your spirit.
It's a surgical strike.
Yeah, surgical strike.
All right.
We can't call a landline. Peachy, you're going to have to call into us at 231 Heat Ego. We're not paying for your...
He said he didn't have any money, so he can't call.
Well, you know what? You got to have money to come on the IMG podcast. We don't want poor people.
Okay, right. I think that about does it, Blake Buck.
All right, well, that's the end of battle forever. All right. Well, that was it. A solid battle.
Solid.
Wow. That's like Blade Runner.
Tetsu Jin has never heard this music.
Oh, no, I haven't heard
it in a long time.
All right, well, that does it. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got to do it the fastest ever. I'm going to stand up for this one. I just wish you had a video camera so you guys can see this.
Well done.
Indeed. All right, so that's the last episode of the IMG podcast featuring Blake Buck, William Miller, and Justin Fick. We have moved on to a new show over at bestdamnpodcastever.com. For those of you listening right now, the first show is available for download. Just go check it out on iTunes. Go check it out on the website, bestdamnpodcastever.com. It's a general gaming podcast, just more of what you love.
All right, so I have a few things to say.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me.
All right.
All right.
So I figured I would thank both or all three of you, Blake, Justin, and... William, sorry.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
No, No, seriously. You know, thank you guys for doing the podcast all these months. It's been a lot of fun. I do apologize for not being there all the time.
That's okay, Chunster. Whenever you weren't there, you were there in spirit.
Yeah, exactly. But it's been a lot of fun, and you know, thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. I do appreciate it. I know all our listeners appreciate it, and I wish you guys the best of luck with the best damn podcast ever. So, you guys more than
that
welcome
was hard
to...
for you to say when it comes to.
No, and whenever you guys want to come on a show on the IMG podcast, let me know, and you know, we're here to help you guys out.
Fantastic!
Sure.
Thanks,
absolutely, awesome. Thanks a lot.
We've enjoyed the time we've spent here, and it's been a great opportunity for us.
Yeah, it's been a really fun run.
Yeah, cool. Especially consider where the podcast was when we started. I'm glad we had IMG to build up our skills. Good God. Episode one is awful.
do you still have our pilot of the IMG podcast?
Somewhere. I'm sure I do. But yeah,
like,
so...
Like that was pure patheticness.
So again, check us out. Best damn podcast ever. Keep listening to the IMG podcast. Tunster's going to be bringing it home. With Andy Largent's doing it, right?
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So, guys, keep listening. Listen to the new show. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, from all of us here at Inside Mac Games, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
And I'm William Tunster Dennis.
And we will see you next time.